This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They take care of a multitude of insurance needs. And let's face it, we have a multitude of insurance needs. They'll do everything they can to save you money. They will also do everything they can to make sure that you are fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Very pleased to bring in the new play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you see him on air, on TV, he is brilliant and smooth. When he's filled in for Bill Hillgrove before, he was outstanding, and he deserves to have the spot he has. Rob King, welcome to the job. Welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for the welcome to both. I really appreciate it.
All right. So just give me the moment when they finally told you, you know what, Rob? You're the guy. What was that like for you?
Interesting. I was in Porto, Portugal with my wife on vacation and looked down on my phone and it was Reagan Berube from the Steelers calling me and offering me the job, and it was a little surreal. I wasn't in Pittsburgh. I was on vacation with my wife in a foreign country, walking down a small cobblestone street, and it probably would have been surreal anyway, Steve, but it was a little surreal, extra surreal because of that. But wonderful, and it sort of hit me at once and then hit me slowly both at the same time, if you know what I mean. So yeah. It's been wonderful. It was a great experience, and I'm just thrilled that Art Rooney and the Steelers have put their faith in me, and I'm going to do everything I can to uphold that faith.
And you will. That will be no problem at all. Rob, it's you have to be the first Rob King. You don't have to be the next Bill Hillgrove or the next Fleming. In fact, the opening game I do will be down at West Virginia. Jack was the play-by-play guy down there for years. But between Jack Fleming and Bill Hillgrove, just can you reflect on the legacy of their work and the opportunity for you to continue that legacy?
Yeah, I mean, both were singular, both amazing. I never knew Jack Fleming personally. I've heard some of his calls. Bill, I've gotten to know over, I was there for all but a handful of the years that he called Steelers games. I've been in Pittsburgh, and I heard him calling Pitt games. Wonderful man. He has that beautiful voice, that beautiful, rich voice that just is comforting. That's become part of what the Steelers are to people. And you're right. I mean, you don't, a couple things. First of all, you don't replace Bill Hillgrove. Right. You follow Bill Hillgrove, and you just try to do the job to the best of your ability. And I think that's what's important for me. Obviously, I think when you listen to the radio, whether you're listening to Steve Jones or Bill Hillgrove, or you just mentioned West Virginia, Tony Caridi, any of the other great broadcasters, you're probably picking up something. And those things probably help you, but I think at the end of the day, you have to be yourself. I'm a big believer in that. You have to be who you are, and I think if you're who you are and do the job to the best of your ability, hopefully, you know, enough people will like the job that you're doing.
Right, exactly, because I succeeded Fran Fischer, and at Penn State, Fran Fischer was a legend. But you have to be you. I mean, you can't be, copy what they do. So now let's get to this team. Now let's get to the job. Yes, the job is about this team. Russell Wilson's going to finally get out there and get a few snaps coming up. What's your thought on what the combination of Arthur Smith can mean with the skill set of Russell Wilson?
I think it can mean the world, Steve. I mean, I really do. You know, when the Steelers got solid quarterback play. And whether you want to ascribe the non-solid play at that position to the quarterback position, to the offensive coordinator, to a combination of the two, doesn't really matter. It's the most important position in sports. And it wasn't until Mason Rudolph came on in relief with the new offensive coordinator that the Steelers got some productivity from that quarterback position, won their last three games against teams that were, for the most part, in similar positions that they were. You know, Cincinnati without Joe Burrow, trying to find a way into the playoffs in contention. Seattle with their starting quarterback, not a super team, but a playoff caliber team in contention. The Steelers were able to beat those teams with that formula of, you know, a new offensive coordinator and better quarterback play. Well, they're going to get better quarterback play from the jump. And Arthur Smith is, you know, somebody came out, I think it was PFF, came out with a recent poll of top offensive coordinators in football. I believe he ranked fifth. So he brings that sort of gravitas to the position. I think that combination is going to prove to be very successful for the Steelers. I mean, it's the most important position in professional sports, quarterback. Russell Wilson has looked extremely sharp at camp. And I think that it's going to be a major upgrade for this team at the quarterback position. And I think that that's going to show on the field.
Rob, I was talking with Jerry Dulac the other day, and he said something that struck him is George Pickens has been putting on a highlight show in practice almost every single day. Your thoughts on George Pickens, but also the ability to balance it and put somebody on the other side that can be productive when Pickens gets a double.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the one thing about George Pickens, you know, until you've done it, you haven't really done it. And George, I believe George has the physical attributes, the capabilities to be that number one type of receiver. And I think the Steelers believe that too. You know, Mike Tomlin sort of, you know, made a little challenge last year. He said, listen, Antonio Brown got double teamed and Antonio Brown found a way to get open.
Yeah.
Well, if you can be that kind of a guy, then the guy on the other side, you know, his job becomes a lot easier. They have a solid veteran in Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was, you know, had some injury issues, and then, you know, the Rams found themselves with an absolute steal in last year's draft in Puka Nacua. And so Jefferson was, you know, the odd man out in that formula. I think Calvin Austin, you know, call it, you know, he's looked really good. He has looked really good, but call it more of just an overall gut feeling, you know, watching Russell Wilson work with him after practice,
yeah,
seeing how he's been targeted in practice, seeing the fact that he's been moved to different positions and isn't just sort of a gadget guy like he was last year under Matt Canada. You know, he's got to be able to block, but I think he's showing a willingness to do that. And I think for receivers, a willingness is three quarters of the battle. Just get in the way.
Yeah.
Be willing to block downfield, because in Arthur Smith's offense, everybody blocks. And that means the receivers. And we saw it in week one when Scotty Miller, who's on the diminutive side, threw a block and it turned a 10-yard gain into a 20-yard gain.
Right.
So they have to be able to do a lot of different things. I also think, Steve, I think it's going to be more by committee. I think Pat Freiermuth's going to have a bigger year. I think,
yeah,
Darnell Washington,
yeah,
is quietly going to see an increase in targets. And I think Van Jefferson, with all that, Jefferson, Austin, the tight end, maybe a little more usage of the running backs coming out of the backfield. I think it's going to be a committee approach to being sort of that second target besides George Pickens.
And I'm glad you brought up Pat Freiermuth, Rob, because that's where I was going next. Because when I see an Arthur Smith offense, tight ends, and in this case Najee Harris at running back, seem to thrive in what he does. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is, and I think we saw it last year in Atlanta,
yeah,
where his tight ends were, you know, first of all, he had good tight ends down there,
yeah,
but they were targeted.
Yeah.
And in Pittsburgh, those tight ends weren't targeted. And I think Pat Freiermuth has every possibility of being a very good receiving tight end. I mean, I think there are a few guys that have sort of separated themselves from elite, and I think there's a big jump from where Pat was to that level, just based largely on the fact that he hasn't been utilized. So let's see how he's utilized, and let's see where the talent takes him. But I think wherever his talents are, and I think they're considerable, I think we're going to see that part of Pat Freiermuth and that part of his game evolve. He just wasn't targeted a lot, and he's a gifted player who I think is going to be targeted a ton. I think with the system, and with, I believe he's going to have a big year. And I do think that, you know, it's going to be in tandem with some other guys. I think Connor Hayward coming out of the backfield, more of an H-back tight end type of guy.
Right.
He's going to be productive. I really do think Darnell Washington, I wouldn't be surprised if he had 25 or 30 catches this year, which would be a huge jump for him.
Rob, in fact, part of this is that the offensive line with which all this is going to happen around, and especially for Russell Wilson, in my personal opinion, is exponentially better than the offensive line he had at Denver. And the Steelers, through the draft, and Jack Ham and I last year when we did the Penn State-West Virginia game, were really impressed with Zach Frazier. And then the first-round pick out of Washington, and Broderick Jones and so forth. You know, Russell Wilson, I think, has an opportunity to have a much better year because he's just flat-out going to be better protected.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned better year, and, of course, he was sat the last 2 weeks. And Denver is going down a different path. I think that is going to be – I'm curious to see whether that's going to work. I mean, they've you know, he's burned that thing to the ground, and now he's going to try to, you know, build it back up. But Russell Wilson was benched with two games left. He threw 26 touchdown passes. That was twice as many touchdown passes as the Steelers had out of their quarterback position.
Right.
And he didn't even play the last two games.
Yeah.
So I think even that productivity level would be a welcome sight in Pittsburgh. It's been a couple of years since we've seen anything like that kind of productivity. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, Andy Weidel, who is the assistant general manager, talked about that yesterday, and he brought with him, first of all, he's an old offensive lineman himself from the Pittsburgh area, went to Villanova, played some offensive line, and you know, he loves building in the trenches. You know, and he made the comment that that travels well, you know.
Yeah.
A passing game, you know, you go from, you know, indoors or out west or down south where the weather is nice, and you come to the Northeast in the winter and it's the ball's slick and it's cold out and it's sleeting or it's snowing, that might not travel well. Well, you know, it sounds elemental, but bullying the other team up front, that travels. It does, and that's the point he made. It doesn't matter where you are. Big physical guys imposing their will on the other team, that plays in any stadium in America. And I think that the Steelers are trying to get back to having that kind of identity. You mentioned it. I mean, they've built it in the draft. They've added pieces in free agency. They want a certain type of offensive lineman, a certain type of player that will bully you, that will try to impose their will upon you. And I think they're starting to get that kind of a group together. I think it's an offensive line. Fabtano, I don't know how long he's going to be out for. He suffered an injury. But he's very athletic, very good. Mason McCormick is a young guard that they really like. They got in the fourth round this year. I think that they're building an offensive line that is going to be far better than the one Russell Wilson had in Denver, for sure, Steve.
Yeah, it's something that Jack Ham and I have talked about for so long. Two things travel. Your running game, offensive line, defense.
Right.
So let's get over to defense. I've asked all these offensive questions.
Sure.
I thought one of the, and you can place him one, two, three, whatever. I thought one of the top three free agent signings was Patrick Queen. Because A, you took him away from Baltimore, and B, he's really good. What has impressed you about Patrick Queen?
Well, I think just what you see out there with the closing speed. I mean, he is fast. Another point we've been talking about, and I'm glad Andy Weidel sort of underlined it yesterday, they are a faster team. You know, they picked up in the trade Deontay Johnson for Jackson. The trade with Carolina, they picked up great speed at the cornerback position. They've already got speed with Micah Fitzpatrick. They're faster at safety now with Deshaun Elliott. But Patrick Queen can fly. I mean, he can really move. I'll be extremely interested to see how they utilize him because he's so good at so many things. He's good at stopping the run. He's good at coverage. He's good at blitzing. You know, a problem of how you're going to deploy somebody who's really good at a lot of things is not much of a problem at all. It'll be interesting, though. And I think that I agree with you. I think that was a sort of an under the radar as far as national news. It made some news, but just for the style of football that you want to play, the sort of division you're in, the capabilities and abilities of the player, I think it was a great signing. And I'll tell you, Peyton Wilson, a young linebacker, has also really impressed. Another guy who can really run, a rookie. He had some injury issues, at in college, but he won the, you know, he was the linebacker of the year last year at the collegiate level. He can really motor. So they've improved their speed overall, but Patrick Queen, I think, now gives them, you know, playmakers at every position. Talked about Minka Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr., another Penn State guy on the back end. They're both playmakers. You had guys up front like Cam Hayward. Keanu Benton is an emerging player. And, of course, you had the two guys, Watt and Highsmith, on the outside. Yeah. What you were lacking was you had a really good, solid middle linebacker in Landon Roberts. But who's out there running around making plays? And to me, that's so many turnovers happen because the way I would define it is something sudden happening at the ball. You're a running back, and you don't see. If you see a guy, you're probably not going to fumble. If a guy flashes, you know, from your left and you don't have a chance to see him and he hits you, that's usually when the ball jars loose or the quarterback is hit when he's trying to throw it. Something sudden happening at the ball. The Steelers really haven't had that since Ryan Shazier at that middle linebacker position. And I think Patrick Queen can be that kind of a player for him.
Yeah, they've been looking for that guy since since Ryan Shazier. There's no doubt about that. One thing about Watt, he'll demand so much attention. He may have to keep a tight end in, running back in, which, of course, takes them out of the pass pattern. It opens up life for Highsmith. Well, now I think you have to make a decision on offense with that running back. Am I going out to use him on Watt, or am I keeping him in because I got to pick up Queen if he blitzes? I think that the personnel they have has now made a multitude of problem decisions for offenses because of that, because you don't know which guy to double or pick up.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, as I'm trying to explain football to casual fans, I try to explain to them how one player can ease the burden and make better two or three players around them. So if you're T.J. Watt, well, you're not going to just leave a tackle on him like you might with another guy. You have to make the decision about a running back or a tight end. As you point out, now that guy's not going out into a pattern. What does that do? It makes life easier for a Patrick Queen or the corner on that side or the strong safety, whoever would have those coverage responsibilities, freeing them up to do more. And so it has a trickle-down effect. And I think great players like Patrick Queen, like T.J. Watt, can have that kind of effect on a defense. It's not just what they can accomplish singularly, but as you point out, Steve, how they affect other players and then how they affect the opposing team's game plan that has such a huge effect on a game.
Finally, Rob, in the preseason, you always feel like roster spots 35 to 53 are probably at stake. How do you then eventually evaluate a preseason game to then help you get ready for the regular season, whether it's looking at 35 to 53 or maybe somebody doing a cameo?
I think, Steve, the biggest thing for me, look, I think that, you know, the starters just want to get out there. They want to get a little work in. Certainly there are jobs up for grabs. Zach Frazier, there's a job up for grabs at the center position. Valtanu probably could have had the same effect, maybe pushing Broderick Jones to the left side. I don't expect to see him. He's certainly not going to play in this game. Whether he'd be ready for next week seems doubtful. He's not practicing yet. So there are certainly jobs up for grabs, for sure. But I think for the Steelers right now, I don't know if it's under the radar, but if you're a casual fan and you're tuning in, you know, keep an eye on special teams because they've lost a number of core players from their special teams unit. In fact, they went out and got Tyler Matakevich, who's been a great special teams player for them. They have Miles Killebrew. But a lot of guys who took a lot of snaps for them, their gunners in special teams, they weren't available. And so, you know, if you can prove to be a gunner, and it has to be in conjunction, right? You can't just be unless you're an unbelievable gunner. You can't just be a great gunner on a punt team and make the team. You could, but you'd like to be able to contribute in other areas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that 35 through 53, I think, is interesting in that regard because that's a component the Steelers obviously put some attention in. They went out and got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's an elite return man. Mm-hmm. They massively upgraded at the punter position. You know, that net, Steve, is worth about 25 yards a game. Yeah. And that's 25 yards a game is, just put it this way, the Steelers' offense ranked 26th in the NFL last year in yardage per game. If you gave them that 25 yards that you're going to get back in the punting game, by upgrading from Harvin to Johnston. They jumped from 26th to 19th. That's what 25 yards a game can do for you. They talk about quote-unquote hidden yardage. So you've made this investment in special teams. Now you've got to find out where your coverage units are. So I think that's going to be something I look for. And obviously I think that, you know, the second and third and fourth receivers and the nickelback. You know, Beanie Bishop right now, I think Graylin Arnold might have had the inside track, a veteran, but he got injured. So now Beanie Bishop, and that's a relatively new injury for Arnold. So Beanie Bishop is going to be thrust into the spotlight a little bit. So there's always something to watch, Steve, as you well know.
Rob, I'm thrilled for you because you earned this, and you're going to have this a long time. And I'm thrilled for Steeler fans because you're going to deliver for them. Thanks so much for the time you gave us, and I hope this is the first of many, many conversations.
I hope as well, Steve, and thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Rob King, he is the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour of the show being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Athlete, business, look, they'll open up the doors for you. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. And now we transition to the outstanding Neil Coulong. Sir, always the most valuable half hour of the week.
The pleasure is all on my end. Thank you, as always, for having me.
Okay, so we've now taken a long look at a game in the preseason where we got to see the quarterbacks, including Russell Wilson. How guarded was the Steeler offense, and what did you think of it watching each of them?
My honest takeaway from the whole thing was I really hope that's not the stuff they're planning to run the regular season. mainly, without going into too much detail, Sean Payton has been and presumably always will be very much a high to low read offense guy. Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks the game has ever seen because, while outstanding in many areas, the one thing he really did well was read from high to low. He made very quick decisions. He knew where to go with the ball. Denver had Russell Wilson, and with Sean Payton calling plays, designing their offense, he was so inept. Guard, he didn't even just release him. They benched him after, what was it, 15 games?
Yes.
And are currently paying him $39 million to not be on their team.
Right.
I saw Russell Wilson and the Steelers offense running a lot of high-low reads in that game. And to the surprise of nobody who's watched Russell Wilson, he failed to pick up a lot of what was going on. He missed a wide-open play, which probably would have gone for a long touchdown on a skinny post that he didn't read correctly. There were others that he didn't. While, you know, I'm not at all going to claim he got all the protection in the world, everything that he needed in that regard, a quarterback's got to make plays. That's why he's there. And plain and simple, he didn't do it. It was frustrating because in many ways what it feels like is they're trying to implement a style of offense that you have tangible evidence that Russell Wilson doesn't do particularly well. And if that's what you're trying to do, you've got two problems mainly. One, your quarterback is going to struggle on a team that has had the quarterback struggle for the better part of the last four seasons. Or two, you're going to have to dumb down the entire offense yet again and really not set your team up for level of success. Mm-hmm. I feel what Arthur Smith was calling, and it's a preseason game, but it wasn't, you know, they didn't game plan, but there was complexity in what they ran. Maybe not hot routes. Maybe they need to get the throw where it needs to go. That's what they're practicing. But to run even a basic offense, you have to have a lot more fluidity than what we saw. And it's new to everybody. They took a step back in a lot of ways, I think, from last season. You're looking at a team that I don't know if it moved forward. And they made significant changes along that unit. And if this is to be the result of all of those changes, you're looking at really kind of the same as it's been. And I don't know how much longer Mike Tomlin can pull 9 or 10 wins out of a team that doesn't operate at even an average level offensively in this era of the NFL. And it's frustrating to watch overall because I think this time they do have the offensive coordinator to be able to make things work, but they're not directing it. It seemed to me, at least, they're not directing it in a way that is comprehensible for the quarterback that they have, and that's going to be a problem. I don't feel that they have taken a step forward, and they absolutely needed to take a step forward at the quarterback position. I understand that it's the preseason. This is what we have to go on, though, and I don't think anybody thought that looked good. It was an absolute train wreck, and we're used to saying that after Steelers games nowadays.
You know what this does tell us? I mean, obviously he's well retired now. But, man, does this tell us over and over again that even in his latter years, to me, how invaluable Ben Roethlisberger was, even if he was 75% of what he had been when he was in his prime?
Yeah, I think that if anything, Steelers fans can take away just how valuable a good quarterback can be. And in Ben's last season, he was hobbled going into the year. He broke down even more by the midway point of the year. He is still head and shoulders above everybody else that they've brought in. I'm not saying that they need to go out and find Ben Roethlisberger. I think every team would like to find Ben Roethlisberger if they have a need for a quarterback. Sure. But the lower level, even call it the average level in the NFL, for that position is a bad player. That's just objectively true. Anybody at the whatever measurement you want to use, the 16th best quarterback in the league is by appearance bad. They're below that and have been for some time now, you know, several games. They're not going to get anywhere with substandard quarterback play. I would have thought it would have been mission critical this offseason to marry the offensive concepts that you're running with the skill set of the quarterback that you have. In the past, they have not had a quarterback that could do anything, really, which was last season. And it became impossible to come up with any kind of scheme to help them out. Now, it's not that is not a sign of support for what Matt Canada was calling anyway. That clearly didn't work out. They had some success when they moved away from Canada, but still exhibited a lot of the same problems that they've had previously. Now they have the new offensive coordinator. They had an entire offseason to vet, to plan, to choose. They had, some options. Granted, not the greatest options in the world, but you get a financial break with a veteran like Wilson who needs to revitalize his career if he's going to get one more big extension. To put those two together, playing in a very similar offense to what he just completely and catastrophically failed in Denver, I don't even have words to express that. I don't understand the line of thinking that goes along with that at all. I will say, though, it doesn't mean that that's going to be everything. That's what they're going to do. But I would really hate to see another year of an offense that's basically one read for the quarterback, combo routes not being run by receivers, receivers not getting open, which was another problem, too. Put that alongside the protection. Plays were there to be made, and they don't have a quarterback willing or able to get rid of the ball where it's supposed to go and make the right read. And that's really what we saw in that game. And I can't imagine the Steelers coaching staff is real happy right now, because if we see the same type of start as we have the last couple of years over the first 4 or 5 weeks of this year, there's going to be a real problem. And I don't know how many more years of this they can take.
Well, and that brings me to the next part. I brought up the Atlanta Hawks before. Now, this year they did have the first overall pick in the draft based on the lottery. But the team that just either barely makes the playoffs or misses the playoffs but has a winning record drafts lower. And I just feel like the Steelers have been that team under Mike Tomlin that never had a losing record. Right? They have not had a losing record under Mike. But at the same time, it also means you're drafting in the 20s more often than not, and I feel like this is catching up to them because they can't draft the quarterback like they did with Roethlisberger that can bring them out of this.
Yep, you hoped in some way they'd be able to go get a quarterback, but I'd be remiss if I didn't point out they drafted a 14 2 years ago. They traded up to get that spot for 2 years ago. I don't think Broderick Jones is even going to start. And based on his performance against Buffalo, I don't know what's going on if they feel that he should start, because I don't think it would have taken Greg Rousseau, who's a good pass rusher. I don't think it would have taken Greg Rousseau to get three sacks. He gave up three sacks on what was it, 10 dropbacks? Yeah. He was miserable. He doesn't look anywhere close to ready to defend, to protect the quarterback. That isn't to say Broderick Jones is a bust. I still think this season he could be among the best run-blocking tackles in the game. He's that athletic. He has that kind of power. And he showed flashes of that last season. But after 8 starts at right tackle, after his second training camp, after one full offseason in an NFL program with the money that comes with that, I would have hoped to see a much better player than what I saw on Saturday. That's you can't start him. You just can't. People are clamoring about he's getting moved around to different sides of the ball. The things that he's doing are not specific to a side. They're specific to a position and a general concept of what you're supposed to do. He's off balance. You see it in his feet. You see it in his lower body. He's not going to be effective in pass protection. And whoever is going against him, Teams are going to know he's there, and they're going to come after him for a variety of reasons. The Steelers are going to struggle hugely in protection right now, just based on what we saw, if he's out there. So as odd as this is, they trade up to get Broderick Jones. They draft another tackle the next year who's currently hurt. But if he's healthy, he's going to start. Troy Fontana is going to be their starting right tackle. And somehow Dan Moore is going to get a fourth year of starting action for the Steelers. And that can't be what they hoped for going into this offseason. That had to have been seen as a liability within an offense that has a lot of liabilities. For them to have not improved in that area, along with the quarterback, is beyond frustrating. And I got a bad feeling that's what we're going to see come week one against Atlanta. They have guys that can rush the passer. That's the kind of thing they want to do. They're built to do that. There's going to be problems, you know. I'm not sure Steeler Nation is going to deal with that for very long. It might not even be a quarter before people are really screaming at Tomlin, at Khan, all the moves that they're making and how they're not really panning out at the key areas that they should have addressed 2 years in a row now.
Which then brings us to the other part, and this is the part that'll, you know, you either know the game or you don't. But you play offense to your defense, but you play defense to your offense. And if your offense can't move the ball, you are inclined to take fewer chances and play umbrella coverage because I can't afford to give up the big play. I can't afford to do it. How much of an effect can this lack of offense because of the quarterbacks have on a team that's going to have to rely on its defense?
The very, very simple answer is not much. But I would point out two things first. One, this is a team, the only team in NFL history to go three consecutive seasons finishing above 500 with a negative point differential. Okay, that's a major, major problem. And two, really shouldn't work this way. You know, they haven't addressed it. The question you just asked, we could have asked at any point in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So, yeah, now the problem that I have is the offense from a playmaking perspective is potentially worse than it's been. It doesn't seem, just based on limited view, I'm not saying it's everything, but from this viewpoint, it doesn't look like their quarterback play will be any better. It doesn't look like their protection will be any better. What's going to be the difference? You hope that Arthur Smith can scheme his way around a few of these things, but I think you're loading up the same problem. And this is a year again. I mean, I've been saying this and trying to warn people. Pass rushers don't tend to get better with age. They get craftier, but they get hurt more often. They don't play as much. It doesn't take long to find statistical evidence to show if TJ Watt isn't on the field, this team doesn't win.
That's right.
And it's probably because he has to win games on his own. Right. And he might be the only defensive player in the league that has to do that.
Right.
It goes to show his tremendous value to the team. But no other team is built like that. So at what point does the other shoe fall, and what's going to be the consequence of that? You can't continue to get subpar NFL quarterback play and expect to win games. If they have not fixed that problem, it's even more pressure on a defense that, as you well know, had an injury to a key player, had a suspension to another key player. Their back secondary was run by undrafted free agents who weren't with the team in training camp at one point. There's a lot of guys that played significant minutes for them, significant snaps for them, that won't be in the league this year. That was their defense last season. They held it together somehow or other. But how often are you going to get away with that? You know, how much longer is that going to work? If you have a team that has even less firepower, depth-wise, offensively than it did, your defense has to be even better than it was. And it didn't work out last season defensively throughout. They were an excellent unit at times. They did a lot of good things. But asking a defense to stand on its head for 18 games doesn't work in the NFL anymore. And if you disagree with that, I suggest you go watch the playoff game against Buffalo. Yeah. It was over at that point. You know, they were dragging. I don't know if their defense can really overcome that with what they've added and what they have coming back.
I just think it's too much pressure to put on one unit because, you again, it's 17 weeks. you're not going to have, in all likelihood, T.J. Watt's not playing all 17 games. In all likelihood, Joey Porter Jr. is not playing all 17 games. Same thing for Patrick Queen. On that side of the ball, you almost have to be injury-free to give yourself a chance in every single game.
If everything has to work out perfectly in what should be, and a lot of different ways you can take this, but what I mean is the secondary part of the game, the defensive side of the ball. I'm not saying that that's not important, but you have to marry the defense with an offense that can beat you in seven possessions. Steelers' offense doesn't score more than three possessions. So and to ask a defense to allow only two is really hard, because three scores in a game is way below average. So you're asking them to be way above average every single week. It's just simply not going to happen in today's NFL. It doesn't happen anymore. You can have a great unit. It, certainly, you look at Kansas City. Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year on the strength of their defense. You know, I've talked a lot here about the phenomenal job Cincinnati has done defensively in their playoff runs the last couple of years. It wasn't Joe Burrow. It was their defense. It's not that that can't win come January, but they're limping into January with, honestly, some of the worst stretches of offensive football the league has seen in the last 20 years. If you can't get better than 17 points a game, typically, out of your unit, you're simply not going to win. You're not going to compete. And, yeah, to your point, everything needs to go right for you. Cam Hayward's a year older. He's more banged up. T.J. Watt's a year older. Minka Fitzpatrick, as weird as this is to say, he's a year older. And it's not like you bolstered a ton of depth because you signed Patrick Queen. Not even top of market. You're not going to get all-pro kind of play, take-over-the-game kind of play. You have to rely on health. Yep. The one thing you can't rely on. So it's a gamble. I don't know where they're going to be. I just know that this really was like, okay, no messing around anymore. We have to fix this offense. And they brought in a bunch of different guys, coaches, personnel, to do that. And I don't know if what I've seen through two preseason games gives me the sense that they're going to be able to do that.
No, I don't get that either. Now, I realize the first-round pick from Washington has been banged up. That hasn't helped at all. Broderick Jones, who knows what's going to happen. Frazier looks like he's a good pick as well. You feel like that part should be better.
You would hope so. You would hope so. I'd also point out, I think Mason McCormick is possibly, this isn't the way they'll go, but I definitely think they have a winner with McCormick, who may have been outplaying James Daniel, who's a very solid NFL guard. Nobody can question their desire to improve their offensive line, not over the last 2 years.
That's right.
They've absolutely made that investment. Everything that you heard about Satanu, he's coming along. I thought he was a little bit more polished of a player coming into the NFL. I thought he would have had a better chance to be a more effective rookie than Jones compared to where Jones was. But I'm not trying to preach impatience with Broderick Jones, but he's got to be a lot better than he looked on Saturday.
That was a
mess. So it's you don't know if you're getting dividends from that yet. And this is not a team that really can be in a position to wait that long. You know, I get it, his rookie year, I can give him a pass. We saw some rough stuff. We saw some pretty good stuff as well. And I'm not critiquing him for his run-blocking effort performances. But his pass protection is such a liability. They're really not going to be able to pass anything, five or seven-step drop. And then you turn into three-step and release. The defense knows exactly what you're doing. You don't have the depth to really scheme much of anything, and now you're stuck, which is really where they've been the last three seasons.
Never stuck with you, my friend. Always appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.